Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 5, which you can find on page 942 in your pew Bibles. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Here we sit in the courtroom, and if you remember from the last few weeks, the scene has changed. It changed from a scene of judgment where we are going to be put into prison eternally for our sins. That scene of judgment has transitioned to a scene of grace. Another takes our place, and then lo and behold, you're looking at the judge, and all of a sudden you're not in a courtroom anymore, but you're in a home, and he's your father, and everything that he does for you is love and compassion and mercy. That's how the scene has changed, and that is completely unexpected, and it is unexpected, as Paul tells us today, because we are not by nature children of a loving and gracious and perfect father. Now, you might say, that's not true, we're all children of God, and there's a sense in which that is the case. We are all children of God, meaning that he created us. But in the fall into sin, in the Garden of Eden, we gave up our inheritance as children of God. That's why St. John can say, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called sons of God. This is a new thing. We were not sons. We were like that prodigal son, far away in a distant land, not deserving to call anything our own. Treat us as one of your servants. That's who we were, not sons of the Father, but his enemies, in fact, St. Paul says. If God was not our Father, then who was? Well, this is where Paul is drawing a distinction. He says, God was not our Father when we were in sin. Adam was. Adam was our Father, and from Adam we have inherited all kinds of terrible things. We don't like it that we get things from our father, that as it goes for our fathers, so it goes for us, that when dad sins, the children suffer for it, but that is the way the world works. That's by design. You know this from how God describes the punishments that follow from breaking the commandments. God threatens to punish all who break his commandments. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. If the father sins, the children are punished for it. That's just the way it is in this world. We inherit things from our parents. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And which of us could say that we were born of a good tree? Adam was not a good tree. He produced bad fruit, and we are among that bad fruit by nature. It is as the old proverb that's referred to in the Bible. It says, as the old proverb goes, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That is to say, whatever indulgence in sin our fathers carry on, we suffer for it. And the same will be true for the generations that follow after us. As it goes for the father, so it goes for the children. And fathers bear a special responsibility for that. Adam bears a special responsibility for all of the sins that follow from his sin. But here's how children handle what they receive from their fathers. They make it their own. And so it is that by nature, we grow up into the sin that we have inherited from Adam, and we make it our own. We make it our own, and we reap from that sin the just reward, which is death. It's a disease that is passed down from one generation to the next, and the corruption grows deeper and deeper as time goes on. You can't shake it. You can't get out from underneath. This is one of the reasons why adoption is such a challenging thing, because you can't change your genetics. You can't change who your father was. Environment matters to some degree, but who your father was, that matters even more. Now, you can see that this is true from the history of the world. Even before God gave the law at Mount Sinai, Paul says that where there's no law, sin is not counted. But that doesn't mean that sin wasn't there. You can see that sin has been infecting the world since the time of Adam, because all men die. Death reigns. And where there is death, the cause of death is sin. Where the symptom, death, occurs, that's where the disease, sin, exists. You can see the symptoms, and that's how you know what we have inherited from Adam. And that is why this scene in this courtroom, which changes in the blink of an eye to a new father sitting and treating us with kindness and compassion and disciplining us as a loving heavenly father, why that scene is so stunning. What do we expect to receive from our father? Death. That's what we get from Adam. But God has shown up, and he has adopted us as sons and has made us heirs of his inheritance, the inheritance that belongs to Jesus. And that changes everything. It is utterly unexpected. Imagine if things didn't go for you the way they went for your parents. If you didn't receive in your life the things that were given to your parents. If you broke free from whatever bad seed there was before you. Imagine what that would be like. It's unimaginable, in fact, but that's exactly how it has gone for us. A bad tree produces bad fruit, but we have been given a new hope. We've been grafted into a new tree. Christ Jesus, the good tree, the vine, from whom we are extended as the branches, he gives us life and salvation from sin. And now everything's different. St. Paul says it's all different. What we inherited from Adam were his trespasses, and from those trespasses came condemnation, and from that condemnation follows death. But the gift that we get from Jesus is not like that sin. The gift is not like the trespasses. It doesn't lead to death. It leads to life. It doesn't lead to condemnation, but it leads to justification. That is, standing before God's throne, righteous in his eyes. It's completely different. No longer do we receive from our Father death, but we receive from a new Father eternal life. We have a new Adam, a new head, and a new hope. Whereas before we received the just reward for disobedience, and it fell on the whole world. Now there is one who has obeyed, listened to God's command, followed it willingly, suffered all for our sake. That's Jesus, and his justification, his life, goes for all the world. Just as in Adam all the world was ruined, so now in Christ all the world can be saved, because his love and his obedience covers all sin. That's what St. Paul is getting to. This is kind of the climax of his lesson here. That sin is terrible. And you can see it heaping up in your own life and over the course of history. You can see how terrible it is and how it digs its roots down deep and gets passed on from one generation to the next. You can see how awful sin is. But as awful as sin is, grace is better. Wherever sin is heaped up, grace is mountains upon mountains piled up. As much as there is sin, there is all the more grace. Whatever the measure of sin is nothing in comparison with the measure of grace. That's St. Paul's hope for us. That's his lesson for us. Whether it is the sin that comes from breaking God's law as given at Mount Sinai, which is the people of Israel broke that through and through, or whether it's the sin that we heap up in our lives when we judge others and we have four fingers pointing back at ourselves, whatever that sin is, God's grace is greater by far. And that leads into this promise that God has given to us. It used to be that you couldn't help but inherit the judgment that came from your father. It was a proverb among the people of Israel. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, but the children's teeth are set on edge. But God has spoken that that proverb is no longer true. No longer do we inherit bad seed from a bad tree. No longer are we bad fruit in spite of the bad tree that we came from. It's not a sleight of hand. This is not some trick. It's not as though Jesus just gives us a new chance to do things the same way we did them before. No, he has given us a brand new life. He's given us his own life. He's given you a new name and a new father. That's why baptism is so important. It seems so insignificant, some water and God's word. But what is that word of God? It's the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No longer are you known as Adam's son, but you are known as sons of God. The only question is whether you live in Christ or whether you live in Adam. Baptism has changed that for you. That's what God's word does and sustains you in the course of your whole life. It keeps you close in Christ. It reminds you all of the time of the name by which you were named in your baptism. It reminds you all of the time of the mercy, the depths of God's mercy and love for you. Picture yourself, your life, in that way. All the time the world is crowding in and the devil is creeping up and your own flesh is speaking to you, your sinful flesh is speaking to you that you are sitting in a courtroom and you need to justify yourself. You need to make your case. You need to defend yourself and prove your innocence. But it is not true. That is in the past. A new scene has emerged and you sit in your father's home and he loves you and he is generous and kind to you. And he has called you by his own name, and he will never change that. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says to you. With that kind of certainty, with that kind of security, there is nothing. Nothing in heaven or on earth or under the earth, neither powers nor principalities nor heights nor depth, not even death itself, can harm you. And that is what Paul is trying to teach us. He can hardly capture it in words. Later he's going to say, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Who can put into words the glory of what he has done for us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.